President Obama has begun his final push to close the Guantanamo Bay prison camp in Cuba that holds detainees captured in the so-called War on Terror. Defense Secretary Ash Carter was asked by CBS this week whether he's confident that push will be successful.
I'm not confident, but I am hopeful. I think we'll have a good proposal, and we're hoping it wins the support that it needs in Congress so that we can move forward.
Molly O'Toole is politics reporter for Defense One, and she's been writing about Guantanamo. She joins us now to talk about it. And Molly, can you explain to me what Ash Carter means when he says he's not confident but hopeful?
Well, what the defense secretary means, I believe, is that it's very difficult to take bets on closing Guantanamo. Obviously, it's become such an intractable issue politics-wise, policy-wise, logistically, that both President Bush and President Obama haven't been able to achieve the goal of closing Guantanamo. The Republican majority Congress, with the exception of Senator John McCain, most of them want to essentially kill Obama's effort once and for all to close the prison. They want to run out the clock until he leaves office. The Islamic State has complicated efforts because people point to the rise of that terrorist group to say this is not the time to be transferring detainees to other countries with the risk that they could get back involved in the fight. But there are a few things working for them, which I believe is the reason he said, I'm not confident, but I'm optimistic. Ash Carter himself, the defense secretary, is very involved in this effort, which is somewhat unprecedented. He's very well trusted on the Hill. In addition, Senator John McCain, he's still the national security leader for the Republican Party. And while most of his party opposes Obama's efforts, he's been a longtime supporter of closing Guantanamo. And he's now in a position where he can affect some change, where he can do something about it. He's the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which controls the annual authorization bill, annual defense authorization bill. And that sets the policy. And that bill, it's a massive bill that's considered must pass. It's been the vehicle for restrictions and battles on Guantanamo over the years. So it's really the key to unlocking the U.S. law that bars transfers to the United States, which is really the last main obstacle to Obama's efforts to close the prison, because the so-called worst of the worst that would be left, that can't be transferred to other countries, that can't be prosecuted, would need to be moved to a facility in the United States.
Well, and in fact, as you report, Senator McCain worked language into the 2016 defense authorization bill that would allow the president to move the remaining Guantanamo prisoners and close the detention facility if the White House submits what McCain has long wanted, which is a plan on how it's going to do so. And both the president and Defense Secretary Carter have met with McCain, saying a plan is in the works. So do we know anything about what's in the plan?
The irony here is that while the White House and Congress point fingers at each other, with lawmakers saying, if you want to get this done, why won't you give us a plan to get this done? And the White House saying, well, all you've done for 6.5 years is pass laws that prevent us from doing so. The rough outlines of a plan have actually existed for about a decade, even predating the Obama administration. So while the White House isn't speaking to details, we know in a lot of ways what it would look like, which is you prosecute as many as you can. There are 116 remaining now. 51 have been cleared for transfer to third-party countries. Paul Lewis, who's the envoy for Guantanamo closure at the Defense Department, has told us that he has a plan for each of them. Which is not to say that he could move them all tomorrow, but there is a plan. And then the ones that remain would be transferred to a maximum security facility in the United States, likely run by the Department of Defense, where they would essentially continue to be held as they are now at Guantanamo as enemy of war combatants, which would be in indefinite detention. So that's what the plan looks like. It's what it's looked like all along. And that's likely the most feasible plan moving forward, as Senator McCain has suggested.
But, you know, as we were talking about earlier, there seems to be very little possibility, again, echoing Secretary Carter's not confident but hopeful thinking, that anything is actually concrete is going to change, because as you report, John McCain's proposal is unlikely to survive, and that also, even though the administration is at work on, you know, forwarding this plan that, as you were saying, exists, at the same time, the president has vowed to veto the bill because it does require that he submits a plan, which he sees as a restriction on executive branch power.
Right.
So how do all these efforts, which seem to be at cross currents, how is it all going to work out?
come together. It's hard to see. I mean, certainly the Obama administration is reluctant. I think this is part of the reason why they've been pretty tight-lipped about this, to even acknowledge that they're working on this plan, though the defense secretary obviously has been speaking to it, is because they do believe that requiring them to submit a plan is acknowledging or allowing Congress to infringe on their authority to deal with detainees in the war on terror. And this has been a broader dynamic between Congress and the White House all along. But what it also does is it would lock in President Obama and likely whoever follows him into the White House into a detention policy, which is something that the U.S. has really been avoiding since 9/11. It's been described as very sort of ad hoc. So in this obsession and focus so much on Guantanamo, the prison, there hasn't been so much focus on our detention policy. No one seems to be answering the question of what happens after Guantanamo. And that's part of the administration reluctance in giving this plan. But there are just a few things working with him. Like we said, Carter and McCain are on board, and they're both working for this. There's also the fact that the Obama administration has managed to transfer more than half of the population that Obama came into office with. He started with 240. He's down to 116. He transferred 126. And the lower that population gets, the more astronomical the cost to detain at Guantanamo. It's roughly $3 million now per detainee per year at Guantanamo versus about 70,000 at a maximum facility in the United States. And if you identify as a fiscal conservative, that's a fairly compelling argument. And the smaller that population gets, the harder it is also to make the argument that they shouldn't be transferred to the United States. It's much more digestible for lawmakers if that population is very small, which is part of the Obama administration's goal.
I take your point, but just in reading your reporting and hearing you describe all the forces at play here, it does still feel like a lot of running to stand still, you know, in terms of final decisions on what to do about Guantanamo.
Oh, certainly. But the reason this is happening now is because Obama doesn't have a choice. This is his last best chance, not necessarily because the odds are the best, but because he has no other chance. If they don't get it done this term, the Republicans are eager to pass language in the NDAA that would essentially freeze the prison and doom any chance Obama could have. We've also got the run-up to the 2016 elections coming soon, and a lame duck president will become even more lame. So this is really it. And we could be talking about a matter of weeks. The Senate and the House are in conference to wed their two versions of the NDAA now. And their stated goal is to get that bill to Obama's desk before the August recess. So that could be in a matter of weeks. And that would likely force Obama into a veto and start kick off a kind of vicious cycle around this defense authorization bill with vetoes that's likely to expend remaining political capital that he has left, which isn't much.
Well, finally, Molly, you actually remind us in your reporting about another major factor that's at play here now that maybe wasn't even a couple years ago, and that is the so-called Islamic State. And in the videos that ISIS has been putting out, where they feature, you know, grotesque executions of prisoners that they dress in orange jumpsuits, which, you know, look to echo the orange jumpsuits that Guantanamo prisoners or Guantanamo detainees also wear. So, I mean, how potent does Guantanamo continue to be as a symbol and now as a propaganda tool for groups like ISIS?
We've seen it with Al-Qaeda and now particularly with the Islamic State, that they've been invoking Guantanamo, whether symbolically using the orange jumpsuits. There's reporting that they have waterboarded their hostages in kind of a direct allusion to those controversial practices, interrogation practices conducted by the U.S. in the past. And the administration uses the Islamic State, their invoking of Guantanamo, as an argument for, let's take this off the table. Let's not give them yet another recruiting tool to reinforce the idea that the United States is at war against Islam.
Well, Molly O'Toole is politics reporter for Defense One. There's a link to her story, Beyond Guantanamo, at our website, hereandnow.org. Molly, thank you so much.
Thank you.